Welcome to our edition of the Mexican Soccer Show. This is an all-on podcast dedicated to all things Mexican football. When I say dedicated to all things Mexican football, we normally talk about the beautiful game in soccer. But today's edition, we're probably going to talk everything but football when it comes to Mexican soccer. And all the things that transpired in the last week with Mexico and everything that was happening. Just kind of a weird week. We'll get right into that, starting with a question. First, I want to say hello to Mr. Cesar Hernandez, who is always, always up to doing these shows, part of this Mexican Soccer Show cast, and just an awesome overall individual, I have to say. Mr. Cesar, whoa. How are you today? Look at that greeting. Look at that.
I know, right? I feel great after that introduction there. Doing well. We were talking for like a minute before we started recording. Just kind of figuring out my plans for El Trafico, I guess I should say, unless I'm taking the train, for LAFC, LA Galaxy this Thursday. Still trying to figure out if I'm going to go to the game, if I'm going to cover the game, who I'm going to cover it for. I don't know, man.
It's the life of the journalist, the really until the last minute they let you know. And
yeah, right.
I've definitely been there. All right, well, let's start because we have a lot to talk about. And we want to make sure that we're getting to everything especially because of the types of conversations that we're going to have. So the big question tonight from our producer, Amy, who asked you guys, how do we look at what occurred this weekend in Liga MX? And then the question that everyone wants to know is, where do we even go from here? So it's up to you. It may be a lot easier if we just start from like the beginning of the week. Of last week and how we felt and kind of guide us through a week in Mexican soccer where it's probably one of the worst that we've seen before from everything that happened. And then not only that, kind of even tied into, you know, what happened with Mexico and the whole like Chapo Sun thing that kind of was during in the middle of this too, where everyone's just bad news in Mexico. But news came out, obviously, explain to us about this whole Veracruz for people that are listening. And even though we were all already kind of past it because of everything that happened, there's some players that were protesting and didn't know if they were going to be able to go and actually, you know, attend a game and almost canceling the game because they haven't gotten paid. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, unfortunately, this is nothing new when it comes to Veracruz. Unfortunately, there's nothing new for some Liga MX teams when it comes to debts to players. So basically what Veracruz wanted to do, and there was a lot of whispers going back and forth that, you know, they were going to consider protesting the game. They're considered not showing up. The Players Association, the Mexican Players Association, posted a tweet saying that the Veracruz players were going to not take part in Friday's match. But of course, the issue too is that, like, if they weren't taking part in the match, then they could have potentially been relegated. Behind the scenes, Liga MX, FMF, like, kind of higher ups, were trying to figure out ways to kind of like give some like last minute funds to Veracruz in order to help them take part in the game.
I heard that, well, if they don't show up, then they're going to get relegated. And I just kind of go, really?
Yeah.
Like, would that really happen? All of a sudden, they don't have any more games, and where are they going to go? Like, I just didn't believe that was going to happen either.
I mean, I guess that's technically like that's like a regulation. Apparently, I don't know.
From a league that Veracruz paid money to be in the freaking first league. Does FIFA go, no, you have to pay, but then, oh, it's okay, Liga MX, you can go ahead and do whatever you want with your league, extend it to however many teams.
My question is, like, what if? I mean, we clearly saw that, like. I mean, Veracruz ended up taking part in the game and other Liga MX teams ended up taking part in their matches. But what if every single Liga MX team refused to play? Like, in theory,
they all get relegated?
Would that actually happen? But Benny, what ended up happening is that as opposed to them deciding not to take part in the match, what they ended up doing is they decided to protest the beginning of the match.
But we didn't know that yet, right? So. Right. We're walking through. They're like, oh, by the way, I think our chat, you know, our football chat that we have with everyone, it was kind of like, are they going to show up? Are they not going to show up? Oh, look, I think Thursday was when the communication came out. Yeah, we're going to be there. Okay, so they are going to play because Curi is going to find some funds and pay them, right? I think it was like agreed on that. Okay, we did find. They're going to get paid. And by Thursday, we were all kind of like, okay, I guess it's going to be regular Liga MX weekend. And we're all just kind of waiting to see what they're going to do. Then there were some kind of rumors or reports that, hey, they're going to do a little protest at the beginning of the game. And this is where all eyes now were looking for this game to figure out what was happening. Question, there was a game before that. I think it was Puebla Atlas? And now,
I forgot. Yeah,
there wasn't solidarity protest like in the other. This was, it wasn't like, teams all got together, right?
I didn't get a chance to watch the game, so maybe there was something in that one that I missed, but I didn't get a chance to watch that one. But I think the bigger story from the Veracruz like kind of issue was that, yeah, they did a little bit of a protest, but the issue was that there was some complications.
Here it is.
Regarding the protest. And it was clear that I was definitely hoping for this to happen too. And I was like really, really excited. I was like, when you saw them kick off the ball, and it was clear that both Veracruz and both Tigres, like we have to mention that, like the first minute, both Veracruz and both Tigres decided that they weren't going to take part in this match. They're kind of basically passing the ball around a little bit. But then clearly there's some miscommunication here about how long the protest was going to be. And you could see that Tigres were getting a little confused. Remember, if I remember correctly, it was Gignac who went up to Jurado. He was the first one. He wasn't like he rushed up to him. No. Gignac looked a little confused, walked up to him, and then Jurado ended up kicking it. And then after that, I guess in Tigres' mind, they didn't hit the ground running. You could tell, it was clear they weren't going to be like, all right, it's game time. But they were like a little confused, thinking like, okay, should we start playing? So essentially, yeah, I don't know.
We go back to this big communication problem. So on the surface, Veracruz was protesting and Tigres scored 2 goals. That's how many people who didn't watch the match, how the news, and regardless if you agree on that, on the surface, goes back again of how many times that I've done the Mexican soccer show. There is no one on PR like Mexico soccer, hire me, please, could tell you, do not do this. It's just going to look horrible on you, regardless if you didn't mean to or whatever. I mean, the PR person must be just taking their hair off from their head, how bad it looked, because it's true. On paper, here's Veracruz who was standing for something, right? Players not getting paid, who said, hey, we're not going to play for some minutes. And then Tigres took advantage and scored 2 goals. You could see it that way. And I'm just going to say it, man. There's so many people that just found this opportunity to hate Tigres.
In the end, too, it's just like, yeah, I think it's fair to be angry. I think it's also fair to recognize that Tigres players were a little confused.
Well, yeah. When you really deep dive and actually watch the game and go back, you can start to see it wasn't as easy as just Tigres just decided to F off, say, who cares about this? We don't care. Because I really doubt, and I didn't actually watch the game live, but I went back and I was kind of watching it after everybody was like, look what Tigres did. I'm like, I really doubt that that's how they feel about other teams, that maybe what they did, their actions were wrong. But, that's where everybody comes in. And that whole talk of, equipo chico, we've talked about this before. This is why. It was like the perfect, it's the perfect fuel, like kind of just making this fire just larger because they're, everybody knows that Tigres right now is the best team. They have the best players. They have Gignac. They've been winning a lot. It's like if I've never really said that, Tigres is a big team, but the way they were hated made them to be like a big team. Like, you're big when a lot of people hate you. And I'm like, wow. Like, for me, Tigres isn't, a Cruz Azul, Chivas, America, or Pumas. But the way that everyone just jumped on him, and that's what they would do with America or Chivas or Cruz Azul. But
I think what's important here, too, is that, like, if you're a Liga MX fan who really hope for solidarity from, like, all Liga MX teams, okay, yeah, maybe get bothered at some of those teams that didn't show solidarity. Maybe get a little bothered for Tigres for scoring those couple goals. I think it's also, you also have to recognize that clearly there was some miscommunication there regarding how long the protest was going to be, because it was clear in the first minute that Tigres were taking part in this protest.
Yeah.
But I think what's more important, though, is if you're really a Liga MX fan that's angry, if you're really a Liga MX fan who's really frustrated and really feels like you should be supporting these players, I think don't get angry at Tigres. Get angry at Fidel Curi. Get angry at Fidel Curi.
People are more angry at Gignac and Vargas for scoring those goals than they are for what happened. And that just kind of goes, it goes back to my point. It's like, you're just waiting to just hate on Tigres. And believe me, if there's anybody that doesn't like Tigres, is myself as a León fan who could have had a championship last season. Like, I don't, Tigres is not my team at all. Or yeah, it's like, it's just, your camiseta was showing, especially specifically the larger teams, like fans of teams who are just like, see, equipo chico, son unos blah, blah, blah. And I'm just kind of like, man, like, everybody looked down. When you go back to it, and I had a nice little thread that a lot of the Regiomontanos really like. By the way, I got a lot of Tigres fans now, I didn't know, that started following me because I really just kind of wanted to look at it. And you could just see, just like you said, after 1 minute, Gignac started rushing, kind of going up to Jurado. Yeah. Jurado kicked it off. Then I think somebody kicked it, went to Gignac. Gignac passed it to Dueñas. Dueñas was like, I don't know, Vargas from far out, just kind of like, and I, this is where you just, interpretation. Was he scoring? I think he was just shooting over the keeper just to see what they were going to do. And it's like the first goal. Maybe he was shooting just to see, hey, are you guys going to play? But I do know that after that, it was kind of like everyone is just kind of like, okay, they just scored. But then Veracruz, I didn't see any, hey, you know, we're waiting 3 minutes. Hey, Gignac, or hey, guys, we're going to wait 3 minutes. Then they keep kind of going over again. They kick it out of bounds. It's past 3 minutes now. Vargas has another opportunity to score. And he's like, okay, I guess you guys aren't ready to go. And goes back, hits it to Gignac. And this is where Gignac, in my opinion, just got to get frustrated with the whole thing. You know, and just shoots. And his apology today, and we'll talk about that, you know, saying that he wasn't intending to shoot. I'm like, you know, come on, man. You've like one of the best shooters in Mexico.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
For you to say it.
Come on, man. We see your FIFA ratings. You see your shooting. Like, it's like, pretty good right there.
But I'm pretty sure. I mean, maybe. Who knows? Who knows? But then you can fault Gignac for scoring. But then I kind of go, it's like, we're not players. You know, we're not there in the field. We're not getting frustrated to do what we want to do. And I think he just had enough. I think he was most frustrated about the whole situation. He's like, you know what? Come on, guys. Let's get going. And maybe that woke him up. And true, that might, you know, his reputation might have been tarnished. People might not like him anymore, which I don't believe all that. I think he's easy to hate on. And even to the point that people were like, oh, this, you know, because it's French. And I'm like, come on, like, get back to the actual problem. And it was a player syndicate, you know.
Yeah, I think in the end, though, I think once again, I think fans should feel like justified for being not extremely angry, but maybe a little bothered with Gignac, maybe a little bothered with Tigres, maybe a little bothered with more high profile Mexican players. You know, maybe why hasn't like Chicharito said anything? Why hasn't, I don't know, let's say like a Guardado, like, yeah, maybe get a little bit bothered with those kinds of players for not saying something. But once again, if you're really going to get angry at someone, get angry, yeah, Fidel Curi. Like, get angry, Fidel Curi. That's the dude that you should be getting angry at. Like, that's the dude you should really be bothered by, because he is basically, and also get angry at Liga MX too for allowing Fidel Curi to remain basically like within the league, to have this continued power within the league, you know? And it's I forget what it was that Fidel Curi said afterwards, after the game. So remember, this is the Veracruz owner, who has had alleged issues giving out the doble contratos, or the double contracts, to his players, which is like basically like a big reason why, you know, these players have had, you know, issues with payments and whatnot. But I think he said I forget if he said he was embarrassed by his players, or he said it was like an embarrassment, but something along those lines after the match. And it's just, I don't know. It just that's another thing on the list to add to this guy, that just like, of things that I don't like about him, you know. He's representative of kind of what's holding back Liga MX.
Yeah.
You know.
And I will like to say, for those of you guys that messaged, you know, me or replied, where if you saw the other teams not playing, you know, why did you do something? True. And I'll get that. Like, you have a reason for thinking that Tigres are the worst of the worst, you know, scum, like the way that they've been treated. And that's your opinion. I chose to see that there was some, you know, a lot of confusion. And you're right, I wouldn't. I'm like, hey, these guys aren't playing. What am I going to do if the ball gets to me? I'm looking at my coach, you know, I'm figuring out, like, what should we do? I just think that overall there was some mass confusion. But you're right, you know, it was a bad time for Tigres. And everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But at the same time, if would we be talking if this was like, if Puebla did this? You know, if like, if it wasn't Jinak who shot the ball, if it was, you know, Monarcas, you know, like, if Monarcas did this, would we be going like, oh, you know, horrible, they're, you know, Equipo Chico? I think it was because it was one of the best teams, one of the best players in our recent time, that it just kind of exalted things to such a bigger thing that, that, you know, it really wasn't that big. But...
And Gignac apologized too. He sent that tweet, like, apologizing for the situation. And like, yeah, I mean, I don't believe him that he didn't want to score that goal. He did want to score that goal. That was a nice shot, you know. That was a very good shot.
But I'm not gonna choose to believe it, but at the same time, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he supposedly wasn't.
I think if you're looking for kind of like a, I don't know, kind of like a too long, didn't read kind of situation about that game. It was basically just like there was miscommunication over how long the protest would be. I think it's as simple as that.
Pizarro at the after the press conference, in which he did say that they were saying 1 minute, and they're like, okay, we'll give you 1 minute. Then they changed it to three, and they're like, wait, we haven't agreed to three. And then they never really confirmed as to yes or no. So they went on the field. They gave them the minute, and then after three, you know, Dueñas went up to the bench and said, hey, are you guys going to play? How long are you going to do it? It was after 3 minutes, and Veracruz was still not doing anything. So, and that's the thing. If it was a 3 minutes and you saw it, then I'm like, yeah, okay, guys, it was, you knew. But even then, that goal came at three something. Vargas had an opportunity to score, and that's where I also go, where it's like, oh, everyone in Tigres and that association, it's like, you know, I'm like, I'm pretty sure there were some players that had nothing to do with that. It wasn't like they were moving up. Vargas scored, which I think it's a mistake. And then the second time he had the opportunity and he didn't do anything. So I feel like a lot of people didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of confusion. I think the fact that like other Liga MX teams weren't like taking part in the protest, you know, also was kind of indicative of just like, yeah, that maybe there wasn't a united front. And like I said, too, it would have been nice, too, like if you did see that tweet, you know, from the Players Association, was kind of like backing up and supporting Veracruz. It would have been nice to see some of the more high profile Mexican national team players like going out there and showing their support, you know, or maybe even someone who's, someone like, and I know it's a little different because no longer playing, but maybe like someone like a Rafa Márquez, you know, who's like a very well respected figure. Maybe if he were to kind of like step up and say something, although maybe it's a little tough with him, you know, because, but
yeah.
But I don't know. I would have liked. Yeah.
I think everybody's like, again, I don't think anybody has a wrong opinion. That's how I saw things. If you saw it as, you know, jerks, you know, like, why this is the time to be, you know, and then obviously the Racing videos come out, and you know, even the Bielsa bring the, you know, score a goal and the other, like somebody tweeted that. It's like, well, why didn't, you know, if it was a mistake, why didn't they let Veracruz score two goals so it'd be 0-0? I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's also, if I wasn't the keeper, I wouldn't want somebody to give me, like, it wasn't my fault. That's going to go against me as the keeper.
It's also really easy for us. Not to defend Tigres, you know, but like, it's also really easy for us to be like sitting at home and watching this, or like after the fact, after seeing all the things that the players have said, seeing all the things that the commentators have said, to be like, this is what I would have done. But let's be real. If like, if you agreed to like 1 minute, and if there's a little confusion, they're like, oh, they said 3 to 5 minutes. Should we do 3 to 5? Are we going to do 3 to 5? And then you like, the game starts, like, and if it's like 3 minutes and you see some of your teammates playing, like, well, I don't know. I guess it'd be tough to know what I would do in that situation too, as well. Cause I would like to imagine that I would 100% support Veracruz, and I would 100% support, you know, like their protest. But if there was like, no, but if my teammates started playing, and then if like the only thing that was agreed upon was 1 minute, and I didn't know if it was going to be 3 or 5, and the ball came to me, what would I do? I don't know. I think it's really easy.
You have Jinak already all pissed looking at you. Like, you know, I mean, it's part of it. Then you have a coach like Tuca, right? Who in a press conference today, Tuca said that, and it goes back again. He said, no one officially said to me as a coach, hey, we're not going to, you know, we're going to do a protest. It wasn't after the players through their WhatsApp chats, you know, said, hey, we're going to do this for a minute. And then the 3 minute thing came out, and then it was, Tigres is just kind of saying no one really communicated. And at the same time, what did they gain from this? I go back, like, why did Tigres, like, what, for them looking like a-holes, what are they going to gain from it?
I mean, 3 points.
But at the same time, it was kind of like, do you really believe that's it? They wanted to score twice. I don't know. And then just
I don't know. It would have been. I think once again, yeah. Like, the summary is like there was some miscommunication about the protest, and it would have been really, really nice to see all the other teams protesting as well, and to potentially like
some didn't, right?
Yeah, and like it would have been nice to see like a full like weekend strike where there were just no games, but. I don't know. It's a little sad to see that it didn't actually go through. But then again, that's not even the worst news of the Liga MX weekend.
Yes, not at all. To close off this, Gignac got his 100th goal, and might be a little asterisk. Now people are like, "Oh, that'll be stained." Nah, I really don't think it will. Like, it's not like people are going to think that he didn't deserve his 100th goal. Or I'm sure he's going to score again. And I don't know. But again. If you believe that Tigres acted out, that's your opinion, and that's fine. Yeah, I think it wasn't the right thing that they should they shouldn't have scored. Granted, so I'm not disagreeing with anybody, but I feel there's a lot more in that conversation.
Yeah. Also, really, really quickly, I think Amy added it in the rundown. I think something because once again, just kind of focusing on like if you're going to be angry at someone. In this situation, definitely be angry at Fidel Curi, and especially angry at them because, Carlos Salcido, after the match, when he was talking to the press about like what was going on, a little bit of the confusion, if I remember correctly, I think Amy sent out a tweet about it, where Salcido was basically saying that, the women's team for Veracruz, they don't have any water be given to the players, like to shower, to hydrate, and that like they're not making much money. And that I think,
players living in the stadiums.
Yeah, stuff like that. But just like he went into details about just like, it's not just, these players too. It's not just the men's team too. It's the women's team that's really, really struggling under Curi. It's that I think I saw another thing too, where just like players' kids were like getting kicked out of schools. And I think he was basically implying because of the lack of payments that they've been having, so they haven't been able to keep them in those schools too. So it doesn't just impact these men's players, but it also impacts the women's team. It also impacts the kids of these players too. It impacts obviously the staff too. The reports you see, the staff that's underpaid or just like I don't know. So once again, I think if you're going to be angry at someone in this situation, be a little bothered by Tigres, I guess, if you want to be, but definitely be angry at Curi.
I just don't see how the league doesn't just step in and go, we'll figure out what's going to happen with Curi and the financial troubles. And this might be the last time that they're going to be in Liga MX, first division, and just pay the players. It's not like the players had any problems with it. You know what I mean? Like that's where it comes down to where the league doesn't take ownership and go, you know what? We know that there's problems and there's this owner who doesn't want to pay his players, but we're going to step in and pay for them. And then we'll figure it out, like, with this team. And maybe this team's not going to be a part of it. But then the fans get brought up into this. It's just a mess, man. And it goes back, there's Fidel Curi, but you also kind of have to go with the league.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just disappointing. And once again, I mean, like, I wish that we could be, like, usually in the Mexican soccer show we talk about some like funny stuff that like happened or, like during some games, or sometimes we'll talk about like the exciting form of like certain players, but this just kind of like kicked off. Well, I guess there's stuff from earlier the week on Thursday that we were just talking about there that was off the field over there in Sinaloa, but
yeah.
I mean this is kind of like a part of like what kind of kicked off like kind of like an ugly weekend in Liga MX.
There was and it had to do, I mean, on Thursday, right, with what happened in Sinaloa and everything that they did cancel
Dorados,
match. The Dorados match, right, because of all the violence. So at first, that's how we kind of got on our radar. Hey, Dorados match has been canceled. We're like, what's going on? And then boom, right? I mean, there's a war zone. There's people with laying down and 50 cal, like, shooting off, and you're just like, oh my gosh. And that just kind of started a weekend of, like, wow, this is me, Mexico, man. It's like this is what's happening. You're kind of embarrassed, and you're sharing, and you're seeing how the whole world is looking at us. And then came, okay, well, now Tigres isn't going to play. I mean, now Veracruz isn't going to play, and the players, and then all that happened. You're like, oh my gosh, the whole world's kind of looking at it. And I saw the headlines. It's like, I mean, even there was a female U.S. soccer player. Hope Solo. I think she, like, check out what happened with Tigres and Veracruz and, like, kind of, you know, shame on Tigres. And I'm like, in Liga MX, I'm like, oh, my gosh. So there's that.
It just sucks, too, because, I mean, we talked before. I mean, obviously, it's important to bring these things up and talk about them. But also, I do feel as, like, someone who covers a game, unfortunately, there are numerous occasions in which you feel like there are certain, I want to say, like, let's say, like, news networks, or let's say, like, media sites or Twitter accounts that they only, when they do talk about Mexican soccer, it tends to focus on these things. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really frustrating when it does emerge. And yeah, it's important to talk about these things and it's important to go over them. But it's also really frustrating, too, when you see certain people, like, the only time they talk about Mexican soccer is when, like, these kind of situations happen, too. And it just doesn't help with the reputation of the league, too, you know, because there are a lot of people who don't really give Liga MX or Mexican soccer the respect that it deserves. And then when they see things like this, they kind of discuss certain stereotypes or kind of generalizations about not only just like Mexican soccer, but just Mexican culture too. So it's a little disappointing when you see stuff like this.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, what happened Thursday and all that. You're like, great. You know, there's all this Narcos talk and people talk about that and the drug lords and drug cartels and boom, you know, and then you see that and you're like, oh my gosh, like that's, you become embarrassed to be, you know, Mexican, and you're just kind of like, come on. And it doesn't end then. I mean, we keep going with our rundown, right? There's some games, and then, you know, came Sunday, where we've seen this before. We've seen this in Liga MX, specifically with these fan bases that just have this hate towards each other. And regardless of, I didn't really understand this one either. But Querétaro and San Luis, who all of a sudden, you know, I think I was talking to Tom Marshall and on WhatsApp, just sending each other some, we were just chatting, completely not even talking about soccer. And I just hear him go, you know, he's talking, he's doing his thing. And he's like, whoa, oh my gosh, you're watching what's happening in Querétaro, San Luis. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going on now? Like, you know, I thought immediately it went to violence in my brain. And it happened. There's towards the end of the match, it had to be, it had to be canceled, right? The match was actually canceled.
Yeah, it was suspended. It was basically suspended, and it was like it was near the end of the match too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't watching the game because I mean, I'll be real, like San Luis Querétaro, like I mean, it's tough to watch those games because like sometimes they're not televised. I'm not sure if this one was televised in the U.S. You'd have to find like a stream or something. It's not the most exciting like matchup, and I was watching some MLS playoffs at that point, but then like my phone started blowing up. You know, basically like based off what the scenes were happening over there. And like, I kind of like, I've basically been just like following along like since then. But yeah, I mean, even if you're not a hardcore supporter of Liga MX, more than likely you've seen some of those videos that have emerged, some of the reports that emerged too, of just like, and not just a small brawl, but just like a huge brawl in the stands. And basically they had to like, let the fans, like, you know, it was like families and kids, like, you know, down onto the field to avoid this massive, mm-hmm. massive brawl. I think I saw something like a report that said like the injuries were like in the 40s, you know, that like it was like in the 40s, like the amount of people that were injured in this huge brawl, like at the very end of San Luis Querétaro. And you see there's one video that makes the rounds too, and you hate to like, I don't know, like retweet this stuff, and you hate to like post it, but it's also, you feel like you do have, not a responsibility.
Well, you have to. Everyone, I mean, you, Cesar, Tom, myself, we take the news from Mexico and what's happening. We let people that may not look at networks in Spanish and English, or first of all, no one's covering this, right? You know, right? It's our responsibility, and you're right. You know, you saw all those scenes. It literally looked like 400 people on one side, 400 people just kind of came together in like mosh pit style on the stands, and then. Then, like, when they're zooming in and the violence of, like, this guy on the rail. And I shared a video. Actually, I shared a few videos. One of them, you know, it's that I think it's making the rounds. And it's kind of, like, from the stands. And you see this guy getting called off at the rail. And then I shared another one where somebody was getting, you know, taken off a stretcher. And I was like, you know what? I probably shouldn't share that. Like, okay, they got it. Because that one was bloody. And I was like, I deleted that one. But it's true. Like, it looked horrendous.
Yeah.
And the kids... you know,
like crying. And what's even worse too is like after the match, Vucetich, you know, one of Liga MX managers, he said after the game that he does, like, you know, when he was asked at the press conference, you know, about this situation, He was like, oh, no, it wasn't nearly, I forget the exact quote, but basically he said, like, it wasn't nearly as bad as what happened to Culiacan, you know, basically what happened in Thursday in Sinaloa. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, my God, man. Like, why would you even say that, you know? And it's just like, it was just like, it was just a nut. It just continued to be an even worse weekend for Liga MX for a manager to say that, you know, for a manager to bring that up. I don't know. It was really, really disappointing to see Liga MX manager bring that up. It was really disappointing to see the lack of security too. When you see all those videos regarding that a huge brawl during the San Luis Querétaro game, one thing which is like quite obvious is just the lack of security. Maybe there isn't enough security.
There was like a cop trying to stop. Like three cops, and they didn't care. They were hitting the cops too.
It was just, I don't know. So you do hope that this is allows certain teams to kind of reevaluate their security situation at their stadiums.
You've been saying that for how long? It's just frustrating. It's frustrating that you continue to do that. Like on our chat, we're just like, man, we want to write about the good things about it, and even the bad things, bad games or whatever, and then. You know, we're having to dedicate this whole show to what's happening with Mexican soccer, and unfortunately, it had to do with violence.
Because for example, we should be talking about Jose Juan Macias, JJ Macias, this goal? Kid, he's got another goal. Right now he's like one of the top seven goal scorers in Liga MX. He's averaging a goal every 142 minutes, and it's always good to see like a young Mexican player there, and like ideally. That would be how we're like starting off the show. If this was maybe a different Liga MX weekend, like maybe the big question would be is like, and we always like to, you guys take a peek behind the scenes. Sometimes we like to be controversial with the big question just for the sake of it.
JJ Macias has already.
Is he the next Chicharito?
Has he already eclipsed the Diego Lainez?
Yeah, or something like that, or like, what European team should Macias go to? And like, that's the things that we should be talking about. But unfortunately, I mean, it's what like 35 minutes in the show, 30 minutes in the show, and we're just bringing it up. And the thing is, it's just like that's not the big topic of the Liga MX weekend. It's not even the second topic of the Liga MX weekend. And when you take a look at the newspapers too, like kind of like the sports newspapers, when you take a look at like Esto or like Cancha or just. I don't know, all those different newspapers, like, they're not talking about what happened on the field, they're talking about what happened off the field, you know, and they're talking about what happened that San Luis Querétaro game, and their images of just, like, people fighting, and images of blood, and it's sad that we have to be talking about that, because that's not why I got into this either, you know? I don't want to be talking about this, but it's unfortunate, yeah.
I feel like it's going to kind of continue to happen. I mean, we've seen this before, there's not enough security, but who pays for that security? Is it the city who obviously can't even keep their own security? And is it the owners? Do they? It's a mess. And I was reading somebody's tweet. I was like, it's like the state of Mexico. You know, it's felt everywhere. And I hate to like look at that, but it's like there. You know, on Thursday with what happened in Culiacan, and then on Friday with players not getting paid, and then the violence on the stands. It just kind of go like. Yeah, you know, you have to accept it sometimes that's what's happening in Mexico, and sure it might happen in other parts of the world as we see, but those are our problems. You know, you look back at other countries where they might not let women watch football, we laugh. We're like, oh my gosh, how, 17th century, like what's wrong with people that, you know, that they don't think that women are valued enough to watch a soccer game? And then I just feel like, does that country look at us and go, yeah, look at the violence. Look at all the things that's happening, you know? And just kind of like, it's like the shame, right?
Yeah, yeah. And once again, it's just disappointing because, I mean, I'm saying again, but just like, you wish that we could be talking about the actual soccer. You wish we could talk about what's on the field. And once again, we wish we could be talking about, Macias, and just like, oh, this young Mexican striker. Or maybe we'd be talking about, Necaxa 2, America 2, like all those second half goals. Like, I don't know. Just like, was that a red for Guido Rodriguez? I don't know.
And you know what? You kind of like, I was preparing some tweets for Leon, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, or I kind of stayed away social media on Thursday because everything was happening. And I'm like, what am I going to add? I'm not there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just not even going to put, hey, this is what's going to happen in Mexican soccer. Check it out. And even on Sunday, I was like, okay, here, let's, and then obviously the violence, you just kind of go, you don't even want to, like, I look back at the weekend, you know, Chivas and America, you know, both tying, and you kind of want to start tweeting about that, but then you go, nah, I kind of don't want to. Like, you know, it's all this bad stuff's happening that you just kind of stay away from it. But that's Liga MX, man. And
I mean, hopefully, I mean, it's just you do hope that. I mean, it's just like that, and some teams learn for this, some teams that, you know, will kind of like maybe make a bigger investment in security, make a bigger investment, and like I don't know, like helping out fans. It just I don't know what I'm saying here, but I guess what I'm saying here is I just hope that that was like the worst of it this season, that we don't see more weekends like this.
Yeah, unfortunately, I feel like it's especially the fans. You know, the there's always some kind of violence. Not always, but we hear this happening again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I kind of just want to just be done with Liga MX. Sorry, America fans. Sorry, Chivas. Sano Rayados. Hey, my León, who you know came back and beat Pumas. You know, it's we go in there, but I just kind of like I feel like I can't talk about it without like sounding fake and be like, oh, I'm excited for this, and you just kind of in the back of your head. So. Apologies.
I guess it's basically, I mean, it's just, it's another weekend in which you have, you know, Santos Necaxa, you know, up top. You know, Santos got that 4-1 win over Xolos. You know, Necaxa, I mean, regardless of what happened in that game, though, that's, it's pretty impressive to get a 2-2 draw against America. So those two teams, I mean, if it's already at this point in the season, if you're sitting at the top of the, sitting the top two spots of the table, then you're probably going to be you're not only going to like qualify for the playoffs, but you got to consider yourself a dark horse for the title. So we'll see what they do.
And it kind of fall off. Like, you always have, you know. All right. I would say that in Mexicans abroad, more like on a, it nothing to do with Liga MX, but we can at least get excited for it. I mean, I know that you're prepping yourself for El Tráfico, a match that, granted, guys, I know many people, and we've seen it, believe me, are kind of like, we don't watch the MLS, or they don't really care about players. But, and believe me, I would say I was one of them. I don't think I've watched much MLS as I have this season. It's just because of Carlos Vela, or the Mexicans abroad that are, you know, in the LA Galaxy, and with Jonathan Dos Santos. But what's coming up on Thursday, I mean, regardless if you don't like MLS or you think it's a bad league, whatever it is, you're probably going to be watching this drama unfold between Zlatan and Carlos Vela in a semifinal match. Winner takes all, one match. And I mean, I think it's perfect for what's happening. And regardless if you like the league or not, and you're invested in what Carlos Vela and the villain, or you know, who's left us, or the Zlatan and his personality, like, it's going to be crazy, and I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty fun, and it's also, like, I know people always, like, a lot of Mexican, like, soccer fans, like, do not like the idea of Major League Soccer, but the thing is, like, El Tráfico is actually, like, definitely a very, it feels like, in the atmosphere outside of the game, it feels like you're about to watch an El Tri friendly. Honestly, that's what it feels like, and it's because, you know, when you go watch El Tráfico, most of the fans there are, you know, Mexican and Mexican American soccer fans, you know. And when you look at these rosters too, and I'm not just talking about LAFC, because obviously you have Carlos Vela in the roster there, and to an extent you have Pablo Cisniega in the roster there for LAFC, but also talk about the Galaxy, because you have Jonathan Dos Santos as well, you know, you have Antuna as well, you know, Efrain Alvarez, you know, as well. So, you know, it's a very strong Mexican presence in El Tráfico, and especially someone like Antuna, because I feel like, I mean, I guess if we're already looking ahead to the game, I've been pretty impressed by him. I've been pretty impressed whenever I get a chance to watch him play with the Galaxy. Sometimes I see him like mistime some shots or crosses, but it's clear that he's actually like a very, very important player when it comes to the Galaxy trying to like connect in the attack to Zlatan, you know, especially because Antuna is the kind of player where I didn't really know much about him. I don't think anybody knew much about him. We didn't know because he's like, oh, he plays for Groningen. In my mind, it's like, all right, who's actually watching him play week in, week out for Groningen? And before that, like, who actually watched him play with like Santos's academy? So I've been very impressed by him. He seems to be a player who always seems to be at the right place at the right time, so I'm looking forward to watching him. And of course, I mean, watching Vela too, you know. And I like, hopefully I'll be getting an article about this soon, but it's just, it's so fascinating to see the success that Vela has in Major League Soccer and just the hatred that it really that really emerges from Mexican national team fans. And you see that on Twitter, you see that online, just like every time Carlos Vela has success, you always see people being like, why doesn't he do this for Otri? Or you'll still see Mexican national team fans saying like, he's only doing this because he's in Major League Soccer. He should be like doing this in Spain, or he wouldn't be doing it at the same level in Spain. It just inspires so much hatred. I've never seen such success for a Mexican player, like just inspire so much hatred from the Mexican soccer fan base. It's really, really fascinating to see. And I will admit, as a Mexican national team fan, there is a small, it is a very small part of me, but there is still a small part of me that every time he cuts in and takes a beautiful shot from the, with his left foot that like goes perfectly into the back of the net, there is still a part of me that sometimes thinks, that would have been nice to see that with El Tri, or that'd be nice if he was doing that, for a top Spanish side, but he's in LA and he's loving it, and he's loving LAFC.
It will never end. We thought Carlos Vela's drama is going to be going until he retires.
Yeah.
And who knows, it's like, does he stay longer with the LAFC? Does he go to Mexico? Does he say, screw all this, I'm just going to go retire in Miami and go watch the Heat?
Or go retire in the Middle East. Apparently, there. If you believe the rumors, but it's rumors, Yeah. But
he said it. But here it is, right? Like, he went MLS. He is the best. He's got the scoring record. He is now on a way to win a title. Like, now the pressure for him is, there you go. Like, now he knows what he needs to do. And then on the other side, there's Zlatan and Jonathan Dos Santos and all that. So I think it's brilliant. I think I'm excited to see this match. I wanted to see if I could maybe go over there, and see it live. But it's exactly how what MLS is wanting us to do, right?
Oh yeah. Well, because let's not be foolish too. Like, MLS has had a difficult time bringing in those Liga MX fans, the Mexican national team fans, and it's within reason too. Because like I think you look at a lot of MLS teams, and if you're like a Mexican national team fan, like, it, do you see a lot of, Mexican or Mexican American representation of those teams? Not usually. So maybe that's why, like, it's not nearly as exciting, but at the same time, MLS for like quality of like play is increasing. And when you do see like teams like the Galaxy LAFC meeting up these El Tráfico games, I mean, just the atmosphere is pretty incredible.
It's
some of like the first El Tráfico that I went to, which is actually the actual first one. I mean, that's probably one of my favorite soccer experiences of all time.
Zlatan scoring right through, and then Vela scoring first, and Zlatan scoring. It was a huge golazo, right? I think he scored two goals.
Yeah, well, it was the first half. I think I want to say it was the first half. I think they were the LAFC were up either 3-1 or 3-0, and then Zlatan just made it all about him.
Yeah, 3-3. Yeah, I think it was something like that. Anyways, yeah, no, it's gonna finish. I know, guys. For those of you guys who are like, oh, MLS this and it sucks, I'm like, all right, I think it's gonna be an interesting match, and we'll see. What do you who do you think wins it, Cesar?
Here's the thing. I mean, if there are any LA Galaxy fans who listen to our pod, what they're all probably saying right now is that LAFC have never beaten the Galaxy in El Tráfico. Because right now, I think there have been 5 matches so far, and it's been 2 wins for the Galaxy and 3 draws. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the time that LAFC actually finally beat them, because they've only gone up against each other in regular season matches. Mm-hmm. So I think in this playoff game, it's going to be at Bank of California. So LAFC are hosting this one. I think it's only the third one of the series that they're hosting as well. So I think they're gonna walk away with the win here, just because of the form of Vela, and just because they have been, I don't know, I think the better side over the season.
I've watched these games, and what just surprises me is how bad defense is. Is around players like Vela and players like Zlatan. Like, you know what Vela's gonna do, and I get it. Obviously, all the teams. But then I'm like, when I was sitting there, I think the last game, right, and I saw Zlatan and just what LAFC defense. I'm like, are you serious? You're just gonna let him do this? So I kind of go like, it's up in the air for me, because I can see. Obviously, I think LAFC, from what I've seen, right, has a much better team. But at the same time, I just look at Zlatan, and he could take on like all of LAFC's defense, and I've seen it before, they just melt around him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like, it's like Liga MX, where like all the big signings that come into Liga MX, they tend to be midfielders or strikers. I think it's the same thing with Major League Soccer, and I think because Major League Soccer is so top heavy, and they do have like some of that world class talent that's like coming through, going up against some defenses which aren't exactly that solid, like, man. Some like poor like academy kid from like New York Red Bulls, like 2 or something like that, coming through, going up against Zlatan or something like that. Like, yeah. Sometimes a lot of those guys, like Zlatan, like Vela, can have a fun time out there in Major League Soccer.
That's hilarious. So we'll see. If I have to make a prediction, I'll go. I want LAFC to win. I want Vela to just, you know, it'd be good for just to see the controversy. Not that I don't like, you know, Jonathan Dos Santos and Antuna and everything as LA Galaxy is happening, but I'm gonna go with LAFC on the want and. I think it's probably gonna happen. I don't know. I really don't.
I just want to see some golassos. I don't care who scores.
And you know, it will, right? And it's like these games always have some golassos.
Yeah.
On the other side, someone we didn't think we would be talking about when we're looking at the rundown is Marco Fabian scoring. Whether if it was chipped or not, I got to see the goal, which is a kind of weird angle. And now Philadelphia is through. Marco Fabian in the city of brotherly love is now, you know, the hero.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is, like, I knew that we were gonna be talking about El Tráfico, and I knew that I was like, yeah, probably, like, I was guessing that the Galaxy were gonna win last night and have that game set up against LAFC. I knew that we'd probably talk about that and maybe talk a little bit about Vela, talk a little bit about like Jonathan Dos Santos. But the last thing that I expected to be talking about was Marco Fabian scoring the game winner against New York Red Bulls. And actually, I don't know, like, I so right now in Major League Soccer, they have a single elimination set up for the playoffs, and it's led to some pretty intense games. So just kind of a quick little rundown. So it was Philadelphia Union versus New York Red Bulls. New York Red Bulls were up 2-0 by the 24th minute. At halftime, they were up 3-1. Then Philadelphia Union came back and they scored twice in the second half to send it to extra time. And then in the 103rd minute, Marco Fabian stepped onto the field. And then the 106th minute, he scored the game-winning goal for the Union. And yeah, like Wiesel said, like, it was like kind of like, it looked like it was a little bit of a cross, but I think it was deflected a little bit and it went into the back of the net.
A weird goal.
Yeah. And the great thing too is that, so the best part about this game wasn't that goal. It was the fact that, so after that goal, so it's like the last minute of like the second half of like extra time. And then the Union score again. So Union are celebrating like crazy. They start celebrating with the fans. And then Marco Fabian takes a camera that someone like hands him, or like a phone, and he starts taking selfies. And the funny thing is, like, none of them realize that the goal was called offside. So while Marco Fabian is taking a selfie on a phone, the game actually continued to keep going. so you could see the, like, I forget who the commentator was, but he was like, they don't know. He's like, they have no idea that it's offside. So, like, you can see the New York Red Bulls starting to play, and then the Philadelphia Union players, including Marco Fabian, like, rushing back onto the field because they had no idea that the goal was actually called offside. But anyway, that was a pretty good moment. but shout out to Marco Fabian.
Who do they face now?
Let's see. So they defeated the Red Bulls, so that means Philadelphia Union's going to go up against Atlanta United.
All right. Well, then Atlanta's obviously the last champions. It'll be interesting to see. Do you see him go through?
I think it'll be close. But Joseph Martinez is a beast. I'm a big fan of him, who the striker who plays for Atlanta United. So I think it's gonna be Joseph Martinez gonna be carry Atlanta United through. They have the home match. So I think Atlanta beats the Union. And I don't know about Marco Fabian, because he's been so kind of like up and down this season, but he's also had some injury issues too. But that's usually the case with Fabian.
Well, continuing, we'll see what happens in this crazy MLS semifinal. I was watching this other game, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is it gets crazy when it comes to the playoffs in MLS.
Yeah, like, whether you like the league or not, like playoffs have been fun. They've been a lot of fun.
Like,
except for the Galaxy game, it could have been better last night, but whatever.
Yeah. Other Mexicans around, Raul Jimenez scoring off a PK. Where we were saying it wasn't like a huge last two jornadas for our Mexicans abroad before the break and after the break. there's, you know, Chicharito hopefully solidifying more minutes at Sevilla. But what's important is this week, so lots and lots of football with our Mexicans abroad, Champions League and Europa action. Tomorrow, Atletico Madrid versus Bayer Leverkusen. Who knows if he'll get some, if, you know, Herrera will get some playing time. We've seen him get a little more minutes since the beginning of the season. I think Cholos, you know, Simeone was saying that he sees the talent, but he also has to earn the minutes, which, if I remember correctly, I'm like, man, I just don't see him being better than anybody who's there. But he did score for them. That's tomorrow. On Wednesday, October 23rd, Chelsea versus Ajax, right?
Ajax. It's just Ajax.
Every time I go and I put like Ajax, I kind of go back to like
the soap,
and then my brain goes, "Are you gonna say it right?" And you're gonna, and my mom's in the background going, "Pásame la Ajax." And then also Chucky Lozano's Napoli with Salzburg plays on Wednesday. On Thursday, Porto versus Rangers, Tecatito form. And then Mr. Raul Jimenez Wolves versus Slovan Bratislava on Thursday. Sevilla plays F91 Delange, and PSV plays Lask Linsk. They're on the, so lots of action in our Mexicans abroad. If you had to pick one player that's we're going to be talking about for this Champions League Europa action, who would it be?
Ooh, I think it's going to be Chucky with Napoli.
Yeah, against Salzburg. Heat, man. I've been hearing some that, you know, it's not as easy time like it was PSV for Chucky.
Actually, you know what? I'm saying that right now, although I don't know his status of his injury, though. That's I might have to, because remember, he did have that injury issue, which is why I think he didn't play over the weekend. So I might have to edit that really quickly and stick with. That was my immediate guess right there. I mean, I guess I could say potentially Edson Álvarez with Ajax, just because I want to see how he does up against Chelsea, and because they gave him a little bit of a break over the weekend for Ajax, and he. I think he didn't step onto the field until the last minute over the weekend for Ajax. So maybe that's setting him up for this game up against Chelsea as a potential starter. But yeah, I guess, yeah, because I immediately said Chucky, but I think, yeah, like I said, I think he's still recovering from his injury. Also, I mean, if we're gonna talk about Raul Jimenez, you know, earlier, we have to talk about him in the Europa League, because even though he, I mean. So I think two of his goals were called offside by VAR, something like that. And then one goal was allowed through the penalty. Mm-hmm. But he actually is doing quite well in the Europa League when it comes to scoring. Like, if we're counting qualifying, I forget how many goals he has so far, but Raul Jimenez is definitely up there when it comes to Europa League goals so far this season. I'm going to look it up really quickly, but I forget how many he has.
He goes up against Bratislava, the Czech League. Do you know it's called the Fortuna Liga? I didn't know it was called the Fortuna Liga.
I did not know that. Did you know also that there's a Gael Garcia Bernal who plays, I think he's a U15 Chivas player?
No way.
Someone just tweeted that out recently. I know, you just said, did you know? And I was like, well, did you know that?
I guarantee you his name is that because of the actor. Like, flat out, the mom was like, Amores Perros came out around the time 15 years ago, more than that. And it's like when everybody named their kid Gael after that guy.
And also, Jimenez has, if we're counting like qualifiers and whatnot, Jimenez has 6 Europa League goals so far this season.
Okay, there you go.
Not bad.
All right. I would go with Tecatito. He's playing against Rangers. I would say we're going to be talking about him. Hopefully, maybe a goal, maybe a couple. Europa League and also Champions League. We'll see what happens. Anything else? To kind of end Mexican soccer.
Breaking news from earlier today. Oh. Belias is going to be joining Chivas. Oh, nice. That's right. Yeah. Adriana actually like posted it. She posted on the group chat that Belias is going to be officially joining Chivas. I think what's going to happen is like he's going to be taking over in 2020. I think is what's going to be happening. But of course, when it comes to Chivas, when it comes to Belias, the question is he going to be given the money to spend on talent? Because once again, you could have the best whatever you want, whether he's a vice president, whether he's a tactical director. I'm sure Chivas like posted it exactly like what his role is going to be. But what, no matter, you can have the best general manager, tactical director, vice president, whatever. But if you don't give him the money to invest, then is he really going to be, I don't know, the best the best employee that you want him to be? You know,
crazy Pelas, crazy. That's especially what he did with America. That's
kind, yeah.
You know, it was golden years. I mean, America's was down the drain before Peláez came in and then brought Piojo in and got a championship. And it'll be interesting to see. Those breaking news, guys, if you're listening. Well, probably not breaking when you're listening.
Yeah, to yeah. Now, so yeah,
it's not. Another news that we got in here in our chat. Tigres and Veracruz women's team also protested before their game a few minutes ago. And
oh, really?
It was only a few seconds, like 30. And I said the Tigres score. And Amy said it was actually an own goal from Veracruz. Oh, wait, she was kidding.
Okay.
I was just kidding. All right, well, guys, if you stuck to us all the way at the end, we kind of, we started the show with just bad news, but at the same time, we try to make most of it and talk a little about the Mexicans abroad. I hope you enjoy this episode of the Mexican Soccer Show. Shout out to Amy for doing all the work with our rundown and uploading and an amazing job here producing the show. Mr. Cesar, good luck on what you'll be doing this week and who you'll be working for and writing articles. And you get a chance to interview Vela. We'll definitely keep an eye on it, man.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, we'll see. You know, teams will always be like, yeah, he's available. And then he won't be available at the last minute. So I haven't even applied to the game just yet, so I'm not even sure. There's a decent chance that I might be watching the game from home and there's going to be no interview or article, but we'll see. Fingers crossed that I'll be out there at Bank of California watching the El Tráfico this Thursday.
All right. Well, this has been another edition of the Mexican Soccer Show. Chavos, amigas, amigos, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be here next week, unless there's probably maybe like a little mini pod that we'll probably have after Tráfico.
Yeah,
hopefully, why not? You guys can get on there, or after any other big news. Mr. Tom Marshall is on vacation. Adriana is working really hard there at Tuda N. And you got myself. So here we go. Hope to talk to you guys next week. Hasta la próxima.
Later.